everybody. This is Tanya Nayak, and you're listening to The Break. I have my buddy, my good friend, Matt Blasha, who you probably will recognize from Yard Crashers on DIY. He's been on the HGTV circuit for a long time now, and I was fortunate enough to do a show with him called Build It Forward, which is currently airing right now on Saturdays on HGTV. We had so many wild and crazy adventures while filming the show. We talk a little bit about behind the scenes, and then we also talk about some of the things that got Matt to where he is today and why he also considered giving up doing television altogether. Excited for you to listen. We already start off giggling. Matt, I haven't seen you, and it's only been like a few weeks, and I already miss you, my brother from another mother.
It's crazy how much we were like together every day. We were going to dinner because we were the only ones who can go to dinner with each other because we were cordoned off from COVID from everyone else. And so we like saw each other. It was awesome. And then all of a sudden you're just ripped apart. So yeah, definitely miss you and miss that smile of yours.
Oh, thank you. I know, it was crazy because we had these drives, long drives. But let me just first preface by telling everybody what it is that we're talking about.
Right. Yeah. Who is this guy?
What's happening? Well, everyone knows who this guy is by now, but we just finished filming Build It Forward for HGTV, which was like the wildest ride, I think, in my career of doing shows. And I mean, we've had both you and I have had some real wacky, wild things in our career, but I think this kind of takes the cake.
Yeah, that's a lot for you to say, because how long have you been in it? For 20 years?
20 years, but you've been in it for pretty long too, right?
I've been at it since 2007, 2008. Yeah. And I definitely think that you are right. This was one of the most challenging shows that I have ever done. And you know, it's like the worst times make the best stories, right? And that's why we're here today.
Is that what they say? Is that how it goes?
Yes, that's how it is.
You know what though? Luckily, it's funny, you and I didn't even do a screen test together. So Robert Wimbish, who was a former executive for 16 years at HGTV, he knew us both really, really well and just knew that we would hit it off and just have like instant on-camera chemistry, which we totally did. Like from the second we met, we were goofing around, you and your freestyle and rap during our OTFs. And I'd always be on the side doing my dance moves. Like, it was like a match made in heaven.
Yeah, you're like, this guy's an idiot. Perfect. Yeah.
Perfect.
It's going to be great.
Well, just like me.
And you know what? It's always kind of interesting for people at home to kind of, you know, what they, you know, a screen test, you know, is interesting. And they didn't do that for the longest time. And I remember they used to just put people together. And then all of a sudden they went through this phase of screen testing of like, you got to see the hosts together. How is that chemistry? And you're right. With us, it was just like Robert Wimbish, who is a great executive over at HGTV. He's kind of moved on since then. He's like, perfect. All right. Tanya, she's amazing. Right. And she's goofy. Matt's goofy. And then we got, you know, like it was like this great combination that came together. And it's true. The first time that we were on set together, you know, not only was I nervous because I was like, oh, my gosh, I hope this girl's not a nightmare. I hope she's just like,
I probably proved to be on occasion.
I mean, only on occasion, which is great. But for me, though, it was like I saw your passion for the work. I saw your passion for, you know, actually caring, right? You actually, and it's weird, you didn't just necessarily care about, like, yourself, right? Which happens a long time. You were like, you really actually care about your craft and about crafting an amazing design. And I went, oh my gosh, this girl's awesome. And so I think from the first, you know, part of coming together, our connection, and we had such a fun time together. And then I think kind of the trials and tribulations of shooting a show in COVID across the country kind of brought us even closer together. We would just like call and almost have like a counseling session together.
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, thank you for saying all of that. That's really so sweet, but it's truly like a mirror reflection of you because you're exactly the same way. And I think that that's why coming into this whole concept, which we should tell people what the concept is about, basically about giving back to people who give back to their communities. So do you want to talk a little bit about it?
Oh, yeah. Build It Forward. We've already premiered one, right? We got one that premiered last Saturday on HGTV. And it's a 5-part special. And it's really neat because, typically we just, design and renovate homes for people that either, I used to find them at Lowe's or, we would find them online and people that would submit to the show. But here we're finding those individuals that are around the country that have not only started charities, but are giving back in huge ways to their communities. And now it's our turn to give back to them. So, they kept it really local, Tanya. So we went from Oakland to Albuquerque to Austin to Syracuse. Yeah. And then
just hop on your bike and scoot on over to the next location.
Don't worry that it was in winter. You know what I mean? Like snow. Snow is fine. And so it was tough. It was tough, but it was such an amazing experience.
I know, and you said it best, though. It wasn't just COVID, the actual pandemic and the disease. It was challenges with construction and flights and delays and cancellations, and it was just this whole trickle effect. And it's not to put a negative spin on any of it, because all of it was just beautiful. Like, the whole thing, the whole experience was just an incredible experience. But it's more to say there's always that glamour on TV, and then there's the behind the scenes of what really happens. So I thought maybe we could have a little fun in kind of telling some of the things that we went through on each and every location.
Wait, all of it? Are you sure?
The good, bad, the dirty, the ugly.
You were talking about everything? All right. This
the
is
whole thing.
HGTV stripped, right?
Yes, all right. Exactly.
Well, and I wanted, to your point, Tanya, it's like, it's hard with any construction show, right? Any home renovation show. Construction and TV just don't mesh. They just don't, right? Because
but they do, because why would HGTV be so successful?
Right, exactly.
The logistics of it, you mean, right?
Because it's edited real nice, right? And you got some good music. It's really tough. So what people don't realize behind the scenes, it's like trying to figure out when materials are coming in. And when we shoot a day of shooting, not a lot gets done, right? Because we're trying to like set up cameras and audio, and you can't get like a full day's work in there. So it's like the start and stop, which is really tough. And then you're right, the logistics of this place. And we were in one of the episodes, the last episode is Cosby, Tennessee, where we were in the middle of the Smoky Mountains.
Oh, you're
going to
go for the gusto. You're going to go for the one that had the most challenges.
we were heading up at, the first time we went to that house, we're like, okay, we're on asphalt. Oh, we're on a dirt road. We're on a bumpy dirt road. And then we're going, where in the world is this house? And it was this guy, he's a teacher in a really small,
Scott from
Cosby. And it's such a neat guy and such a great story. Yeah. And so getting up there, I was like, the logistics, who the contractor's going to be, trying to get materials up there. But I think, to your point, is these people are so incredible. And they have such an amazing story, and they never expect anything in return. It was almost like the drive for us was there. Like, we are going to get this done, and we are going to absolutely stoke them out. So no matter what we went through, and Cosby was crazy. I mean, there was...
Cosby had the most challenges. It was literally like we were four-wheeling in a sedan. Mm-hmm. Right? Like we were trying to get through and get to the location. And if we were having problems, can you imagine with the contractors that were helping out when we were in other locations? It was just a lot of craziness.
Yeah. What was the rental car that they gave me? I think I had like a Hyundai sedan, in the first.
Like it literally blew in the wind. Like if the wind blew too hard, the car shifted into the next lane.
I was like, it's not going to make that up. And I called the producers, line producer. I said, hey, can we get like a off-road vehicle, maybe like an all-wheel drive? And so Tanya and I, we would end up, driving to set together, you and I, and then we would just remember I'd charge that mountain and just floor it and just go up it. So like I had a blast, that was great. But we've had camera operators stuck, we had a whole camera crew there stuck. I mean, you almost got sick on driving through the windy
I got totally car sick. I forgot about that. You were talking to me, and I'm like, I can't talk right now. I can't talk. I had like one finger over my mouth.
Just hold it. Don't
hold it. You got this.
Don't look at your phone. I just can't do that.
It was bad. But you know what? That was actually one of my all-time favorite things, was that we actually had an hour and 20-minute drive each way to that location from where we were staying. So you and I think that's where we bonded the most, was just having these long early morning conversations with our coffee and just chatting and like getting to know each other. And it was so amazing because I got to learn so much about you and your upbringing and kind of what this podcast is all about, which is the big break.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't think you still talk
to me, Tanya, which is amazing. You know what I mean? Like, right? After knowing me and knowing exactly where I came back, you're like, you still want to talk to me.
I felt bad.
You're like, oh my gosh, this guy's an absolute mess. Like, we just need to figure this out.
But I'm stuck with him. It's going to be fine.
but it is very rare. It's true because, you know, you don't really get to have that with any other, person. You're able to like talk, and there was some really tough things, right? There was trying to figure out the design, how it's going to be cohesive, how to get the builds done, and really talking about, I think one of our biggest challenges on this show was trying to pry out from people that never want anything, that only give, trying to pry out what they want in their renovation was so hard.
It was so hard. Well, so this is a big thing, actually. Mm-hmm. You had to leave your family, Lindsay, and your 3-year-old son, Jace, for an extended amount of time, which is probably was one of the biggest challenges.
You know, in this industry, it is a hard industry, and not only is it tough because you have to be on camera, you have to be on all the time, but then you're dealing with real life stuff. And when I started in 2008, I traveled a lot, and I was in another marriage before my ex-wife. We were okay with it, and we were trying to like figure it out, but I was gone. And I think 2016 to 2017. I was gone 300 days out of the year, and that's
really?
It was crazy. I mean, it's being like in the military, or like in an oil derrick, right? That's just not any kind of life. So,
was she with you at all on those 300 days?
No.
I know it's hard having a spouse with you when you're filming, because you're filming and then you're worried the whole time. Like, what if we run over and they're waiting? It's stressful.
Well, and you're mentally shot. Mm-hmm. You really are. It's like you're mentally shot. Like, it's a lot of brain power. Okay, so not only are you trying to worry about a design and build, but you're also worrying about like the whole look and feel of the show, right? And your the energy. And literally, when I drive home from set, I don't even turn on the radio. I don't even want to hear myself talk anymore. Anyway, I went back in 2017. I went through a divorce, and I said I just didn't want to do it anymore. And so I met Lindsay out here, actually in Kansas City. I was shooting a show, Yard Crashers, and she's a landscape. She does pots and stuff. And we met, and it was like, oh, she's amazing. This is great. I can't wait. You know, she wants kids, and I've always wanted a son or a daughter or whatever, child. And so I promised myself, I said, I just won't do it again, right? Because those are the most important years of their lives, and you just can't miss it a lot. So this show, when they pitched it to me, I said, how is the travel, right? How is it? And it was such an amazing message, right? Especially in a world today where we need so much positivity and such an amazing message for people to really not only get to know these charities, but get to know the person and to really just give back. And I think I know it's important for you with the charities that you work with. Mm-hmm. I started a charity. I work with a lot of charities, and it's really important to give the talents that we have to bring this back into the world and really pay it forward, and that's what the show titled Build It Forward. And so it resonated with me so much. And so I sat down and we prayed about it, and I went with my wife and I said, hey, this is something, what are we going to do here? Is this okay with you? But, the travel, what was kind of promised to us, didn't necessarily happen because it was the logistics on the show were just so crazy. And we were getting a positive COVID test, and then they'd shut it down, and then it would squish the schedule. And
weirdly, we never got a positive, which is interesting, right?
I know.
Right before the holidays. And Omicron, when all of a sudden there were a couple of coughs on set or a couple of sniffles and a few people were feeling chills. And then and then it was just like it did all over the country. It kind of ran rampant through our crew, and we had to shut it down. But weirdly, you didn't get it. I didn't get it. And we were the only two that didn't even have masks on because we were on camera. It was very bizarre. But anyways, that caused us to shut down for about an extra 10 days. And then it was the holidays. So there were some setbacks, but I mean, we pushed through. And thank you to Lindsay and Brian and Jace and my dog, Flynn, for being so patient with us.
Absolutely. I just took her to a trip to the Florida Keys. I dropped the kid off at the, which thank you to you and your suggestion, by the way, was just absolutely incredible.
That was awesome.
We are going to spend some time on our own. We are going to absolutely have this time because, yeah, Brian, Lindsay, they both gave, they sacrificed. But I think it's their part. It was their small part of giving back as well.
This all parlay into you and your career decisions? Like, were you a contractor first? Were you acting? Like, I know you told me you used to do theater. Like, what? Where did that all kind of come from?
I am a thespian. A thespian, yes. If you will. And not an actor, a thespian.
Yeah. Yes.
It was kind of, I had an interesting career growing up. I'm attention deficit. I'm not medicated for it. So I'm all over the place at any time. I can't sit still. And so I went through sports and I was good at sports. I was an all-state football player, got into college, went on a full ride scholarship to college. And then after 2 years of college, I always had knee problems, right? Especially being around physical therapy. So I wanted to get in the physical therapy program. So my first 2 years of college, I was a physical therapist and I got into pre-med. And pre-med was really hard. It had this thing called, organic chemistry. And me and organic chemistry and this brain did not mix whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So it ended up kind of not flunking out, but I got a C in it. You can't get a C and go to any kind of professional school. No. Thank goodness for it because the career that I chose, so I with my dad, my father, he was an export packer. So he used to pack big shipping containers and stuff on the pier of San Pedro and then put them onto ships. Mm-hmm. And so I would work for him. I would, use the saws and table saws and forklifts. And so I just loved to be around it. My other brothers, for some reason, are all brainiacs and they just didn't care less about, any kind of saws or carpentry. So it was just me, and I just loved it. So it was kind of a natural progression. I needed to graduate college. I didn't like school whatsoever. I couldn't stand it. I said,
but
I was.
You had to get through it for your family and your just to check that box.
And the piece of paper. That's what it is. It's to get that piece of
very,
paper.
Very, very expensive piece of paper.
Yes, kids, just get the piece. Where are you, kids? All right. Just get the piece. get the piece of paper. That's all you want because it really shows employers and everyone that you can actually work towards something, right? So I was, when I was in the pre-med classes, I did student films, right? So I would be in student film projects and I loved the film industry and that media. So I decided to get a BFA. I went into the BFA program and got a film and television BFA at Chapman University, which is one of the top three film schools in the nation. I ended up graduating film and television. I started being, I was a gaffer grip. I did Universal, big motion pictures, big commercials for like Hyundai and Honda and all these places. And then I decided that, I wanted to get something a little bit more solid. Plus, I didn't want to work 18 hours a day, which was insane. You know how the TV industry is. Mm-hmm. And so I got into, I was at Disney for a stint for 2 years. I was an automation specialist and a programmer for all the Tinkerbell when she goes from the Matterhorn and she goes that was me on the other end making sure she didn't stall above 50,000 kids.
And, oh my God. Yeah. It cracks me up because I swear to you, in the short time I've known you, I've heard about 38 different careers that you've had, and you're younger than me.
I can't stay still. Yeah, that's just what it is. Yeah.
So funny.
I never wanted to get locked in one thing in my life, right? I never truly wanted to say when I was done and I was finished and on my deathbed to say, hey, I didn't experience everything. And that's really important, at least in my life, to figure out like, hey, you're never going to know if you like it unless you jump into it, right? And figure it out. And so my mom would just be like, oh, you're all over the place. You just want to do this and do that. I'm like, yeah, but I want to put that hat on, right? Yeah. I want to see if this is something that's absolutely really for me. And I really dove into physical therapy. It just wasn't for me. I really dove into the corporate world in Disney and it just wasn't for me. And I really wanted to commit. So you know, it was funny how TV kind of rolled around, because I was caught in the 2007 debacle, especially as I was in California. And I was a realtor, which is an awful time to be a realtor. And I was also a spec home builder. And I was in the middle of four projects, and I had put all my money into it. Because I was going to kill it.
Right.
You know, I do really well on those, and the market crashed and everything crashed. I lost everything. I went bankrupt. I mean, it was just horrible. And I felt bad for a lot of other people too, that went through the same thing. A lot of contractors that I knew. Mm-hmm. So I was just scraping, trying to figure out, what do I do? I do short sales. I was, you know, no one knew what a short sale was at that time. And so I was running into banks. I almost got arrested a couple times just trying to get deals done. And it was crazy. You were working twice as hard as a real estate agent, and you were making half as much, because the banks would say, well, you're not going to make 3% on it because we're losing money on it. You're going to make 1.5%. So it was crazy. So my ex-wife, if I have to thank her for anything, it's for she put me into a competition called the Stud Finder competition for DIY Network. And I don't know.
Stop it right now. Yes. I feel like just that alone, the title.
Don't ever look
this
it up.
This is like you can't you can't make that up.
Yeah.
The Stud Finder.
And I didn't win, so I am not a stud, apparently. But at that time, Tanya, I was like, I just need to make money, you know, like I need to make money. So this kind of whole HGTV home improvement television idea was just starting to roll around. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, well, what is it? Great. And I've noticed this in my life, and I don't know, maybe you can speak to this as well. When you don't have such a desperation for something, you typically are the best at it. You know what I mean? Like,
truly words to live by. Yes. I mean, if anybody walks away from listening to this podcast right now, those words, say it again, Matt.
Just don't care. but it's,
you know,
it's,
you're literally in your head, you're like, wait, what did I just say?
Yeah, what did I just say? I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
It's really, it's truly what, and I realized it at that point. So kind of how it went is, I did some acting thespian work before, you know, but like very lightly. I would do some, I did a lot of student films. I was in a couple of films, a couple movies, a couple sitcoms. I got into SAG, but, and every time you would go into this audition, right? And it would be like, this is my big break, and you would hold so much to it. So I'll tell you a quick story of how this kind of all unraveled. It all kind of came together. So there was this show called Unhappily Ever After. Do you remember Unhappily Ever After?
I do. Who was on it?
It was Bobcat Goldthwait. Remember, he was the puppet. It was like an old, like the girl with the red hair, and the guy from Al Bundy. Al Bundy was
Al Bundy. Oh yeah, yeah, Peg Bundy. Of course, yes, yeah, yeah.
Vern Champion was one of my. You got to get in with a casting director, right? So when I was living up in LA, I knew Vern Champion, and she does big stuff now. But she would always try to bring me in, right, to try to get my SAG card for this, or just to try to get on it. So I think I was on like. This was the 12th time she brought me in. I would go straight to producers. And she brought me in for their 100th episode. And their 100th episode, they're done. So for those of you that don't know, to get syndicated is where that big money comes in. So that means that you can get packaged and get sold all over the world once you get 100 episodes. So they were going to go to 100 episodes, and this is going to be it. So this was the last episode. So she sends me the script. And the script is this guy that's this jock, right? This beefcake jock. And, you know, like walking in and like real good looking guy. And nothing. I'm nothing of that, right? You know? And
what
so,
an odd pairing.
No, well, it was nothing. And it's not me. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't authentically me. It wasn't. Yeah. So
no,
I,
but it's acting.
It was acting, correct.
It's acting.
So I walk in and I prepare the script like I'm this beefcake jock, and like, you know, and I have a white t-shirt on. Tanya, I walked into the hallway with the rest of the guys that were brought in. Every single one of them was wearing a t-shirt.
Oh, no.
And I went, all I'm going to do is be you guys. And if I'm too busy trying to be someone else, who's going to be me? Right. So I went back out to my car, I grabbed the jacket, and I came in. One guys went one by one by one, and I said, how is this script gonna be fun for me? And I said, if I play him psychotic, I'm going to play this guy crazy psychotic.
Because you didn't care, right? Like, you kind of didn't care if you got it or not, right?
Didn't care. I said, I'm going to throw every expectation out. I'm going to just mm-hmm. be what I want to be, and doesn't matter anymore. Like, I just can't. If I don't get this, fine, whatever. And so yeah. I went in there, and I went into a hole. There was 10 producers, and Fern was in the back. And I played it psychotic. I jumped on the couch. I flipped chairs over. Half of the people were laughing hysterically. Half the people were on the phone ready to call the
mortified.
Cops. And Fern, the casting director's in the back going like this to me. What are you doing? And I ended it. And I went, all right, thank you. All right, have a good one. And I walked out. And I just went, you know, whatever. I didn't get it. That's fine. But you know what? I wasn't going to go in there and be someone else. I was just going to be me. And so I was mm-hmm. driving home. I was driving back to Orange County at the time, and it's a 2-hour drive down to Orange County. So Suzanne Morris, who was my manager at the time, she I see her call, and I go, oh my gosh. I pick up the phone, and I go, hey, how's it going? She goes, hey, what's going on? She's like, so how did your audition go? And I went, great. I thought it went great. She goes, yeah. Okay. She goes, well, she called. You did not get the part.
Oh.
And I went, really? She goes, but they wrote one for you.
No way.
Yes, they wrote one.
I did not see that coming.
They wrote me a part called Rusty Mintz, which was like a play for like a producer. Anyway, like they and a guy that's like the psychotic guy that is in one of the scenes. And I was in the very last episode of it.
Amazing.
So at that point, Tanya, I like in my life, I go, that's it. Just be you. That's it.
Yep.
Just don't throw it out. Don't put so much on it. Just kind of release it and just be you. And that was such a crazy life lesson for me. The mistake that I made with television before is that I followed television and I did not let television follow me. So in 2017, mm-hmm. when I was done with it, I hung up Yard Crashers and said, we were done. And Discovery kind of bought HGTV. There was a whole kind of like flipping
merging.
Shows. Right? And it was, just in chaos. And I said, oh my gosh, okay, so I'm going to get to work. I have let my business go. I have no business. I have no clients. I have nothing because I've been doing television for the last 11 years. So mm-hmm. it was a real challenge. And I know a lot of my other HGTV, DIY guys did the same thing of just like, oh my gosh, that's all we've been doing is shooting shows right. for years and years and years. Now what do we do? So I realized
transitioning back into the real world.
Right.
It's tricky.
It's like being in prison.
They need a reform program.
Maybe that's a money-making idea. You know what I mean? We
there
could do like home improvement reform, you know, to like kind of like acclimate you back into society. Yes. So this is reality. This is your
There's
home.
There's no cameras.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, exactly. Like you don't have to.
Oh, that is too
funny. You don't have to go right in the morning to get your coffee and go mic up. All right. Yeah. No mic on this.
There's no mic.
Yes.
We're micless today.
But
oh my God.
Yeah, I've been absolutely loving it though. And the business that I have here, moving to Kansas City. I mean, gosh, I'm as busy as you, you know, I'm a year and a half out on work. Blashar Residential is the name of the company I'm focusing on a lot of exterior. Kind of funny, because I did Yard Crashers for years. So a lot of people know me from that show, but I did some masonry stuff and I did some landscaping before I got on that show. Because I was coming off of a show called Professional Grade, which was a home improvement game show on HGTV mm-hmm. for four seasons.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, do you want to take over season 7? And I went, okay, wait. He's the most popular host on DIY and HGTV, doing the most popular show. Why in the world would you want me to take over for season 7? Mm-hmm. I didn't find out later what actually transpired, but then I just kind of came in. So the landscaping from there, I had to learn it, right? Mm-hmm. I really had to learn it.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was kind of like, I was like, so yeah, that's block. And I learned. And the coolest thing about it, Tanya, and what a lot of people, and you know this, because I've met some real jerks, like hosts, you know, that are on this network and on HGTV, that when they come in with their fists up. Right. Because they say, like, I know everything. Right. And a lot of contractors mm-hmm. do this. You're not going to tell me what to do. I know everything. For me, I'm like Michelangelo. right? Michelangelo, at 87 years old, on his deathbed, I have this plaque in my room, Ancora Impara, and that's the words I live by. It means I am still learning. So Michelangelo, who's one of the greatest people in this lifetime, right?
Right.
Said, I am still learning, and I wanted to learn. So I showed, yeah. And I got to meet contractors and amazing artisans and amazing people, and I grabbed all of this great information to mold what I am today. And I think it's just, mm-hmm. it's really important that everyone just kind of stays open and doesn't close your ideas to what you are, but really be open. You may not use everything, but you'll at least be able to say, oh, I like that. Yeah, I like that. That's actually really cool. And then be able to mold who you are from there. So the whole yard and the exterior thing got to be really, I like it because it's really challenging. You know this as a designer. You at least get to start in a box, right? You're like, that's the kitchen, that's the dining room, that's a bedroom. At least you have your box. Well, right. In the backyard, there's no box. Mm-hmm. You have to,
that's so true.
You have to build
never
your box,
like that.
Right?
Yeah, you're right?
You have to define your spaces, and you have to see how they interconnect. So you basically have to build your house, and then you have to put the finishes in it on the exterior. So it became more of a challenge for me. And so over the years now, I've really just said, gosh, that's, I really like that. And I really like the challenge of doing that, giving people the outdoor and exterior places,
yeah.
But really loving the exterior, trying to figure out the weather in Kansas City.
Call me if you need advice.
Yeah.
Listen, I love you so much. I'm so happy that we were able to become friends and that we got to do the show together. Who knows, maybe we'll get another season and we can figure out how to work that into our crazy lives. But you are just truly the best. Aww. And I'm so glad that you were able to do this podcast with me today.
I miss you.
Thank you.
But my pleasure. And again, you were such a pleasure to work with and really the real deal. And I just love to be inspired by people, and you are someone that you, and for people out there, she is not just someone on television. She actually loves her job and is an amazing at what she does. So it was really a proud honor being next to you for this show.
The Break with Tanya Nyack, a Mudhouse Media production.